Okay, so today we'll be alternating verses. So I'll begin us, I'll start us off with the first verse and then invite everyone to read along with me on the second verse and then so forth. So please stand for the reading of God's word. So today's scripture reading comes from Psalm 23 and John 10, 22 to 30. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. John 10, 22 to 30. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "But you do not believe me. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, church. It's so good to see you all this morning. As you can tell, I'm not wearing my mask today. For most of you, you probably have seen me without my mask on, here and there, sort of church fellowship or events, stuff like that. But for those of you, for the rest of you who hasn't seen me not wearing my mask, this is what I look like. So I kind of want you to remember my face and recognize my face or me at church when you see me or, you know, elsewhere as well. But I know this is a little bit awkward for me to introduce my face for the first time, but it feels good. I must say it feels amazing to see you bare face to face, right? And I just hope and pray that all of us as a whole church will be able to gather together, fellowship, and worship together as we used to do before the pandemic without having to worry about, you know, wearing masks, all these viruses and stuff like that. And so let us continue to pray and stay hopeful as we have been. So, well, today marks the last day of the season of Eastertide, and we should remember that Christ has risen, not just through the Easter and Eastertide, but onwards. Let us continue to remember and meditate the fact that Christ is risen. And as we do so, we believe that he is alive, right? Not just 2,000 years ago that he resurrected, but that today, even now in our lives, Christ is still alive. And so with that belief, when we pray to him, when we read scripture, we believe that he hears us, we know he moves in us, we know he speaks to us through his Holy Spirit, because he's alive. He's not dead, he's not a statue or anything like that, but we believe that Christ is alive, that he lives within us, and he walks before us every day. Amen? We're especially reminded of this in our New Testament passage and David's famous words that the Lord is my shepherd, right? And we believe this words this morning as well because we believe that Christ is alive, that he is our shepherd even today, and he leads us, he protects us, he provides for us, he blesses us, and he does all things for us. And so, though we cannot see him, though we do not see him, we still believe in him, and we believe that he is alive. And so today, I want to discuss how to know that he leads us, how to know that he is our shepherd. How can we know that we are, in fact, his sheep? How can we hear him when he speaks to us? In today's passage, there's a word that Jesus tells to us, as well as to those people in his day. He says that if you are his sheep, he says, my sheep, hear my voice. And that's what I want to talk about today. We know that in the life and ministry of Jesus, there were many who doubted his claims. There were many who repudiated his teachings, especially the Jewish leaders. They were often arguing with Jesus. They were often criticizing him and disputing against him. And they were constantly trying to trap him in his word, constantly trying to get Jesus to say something or do something just so that they can accuse him. Or in our term today, in the 21st century, what they were trying to do was that they were trying to cancel Jesus, right? Of course, all of their accusations, all of their attempts to try to find something wrong with Jesus, they all fell to the ground. Because Jesus is God, Jesus is perfect, and there's nothing wrong with him. In fact, the opposite happened when these Jewish leaders tried to trap Jesus. And Jesus would, what he would do is that he would reveal his infinite wisdom, that he is, you know, smarter than enough. And he would outwit them many times and silence his opponents. And so in every encounter, Jesus, he displayed his deity. Jesus, he reveals through his life, through his ministry, and through his works that he is the Son of God. And so there was not a time when these Jewish leaders, they could say, oh, I knew it. I knew he was going to say something. I knew that he wasn't the Son of God. No. But Jesus showed that he was, in fact, the Son of God. And so it's quite astonishing that in today's New Testament account, which comes at the end of Jesus' ministry, that these Jews, these Jewish leaders, they come to Jesus and they still ask him. They question him. If you are the Christ, then tell us plainly. Now, it's interesting, right? Because Jesus has been telling them that he is a Christ. I mean, he hasn't been keeping a secret. He hasn't been trying to withhold any secret information from them. He has been telling them through stories, through parables, through his work, through his healing, right? Healing the lepers, healing the blind, raising the dead back to life. He has been showing and revealing this entire time that he is a Christ. Yet, these Jewish leaders, they come to Jesus and they ask him, if you are the Christ, then tell us plainly. And so, this is how Jesus responds. He says, I told you, and you do not believe. He says, I told you. I told you the parables. I gave you the examples. I showed you the miracles. I showed you all the work. I raised the dead back to life. I cast out the demons. I told you, but you do not believe. And this is one of the most important parts of the passage today, that even though Jesus himself, God incarnate, God himself told these people, showed these people that he is a Messiah, that he is a Christ, they still did not believe him. I mean, even after they witnessed firsthand all the things that Jesus did, they still didn't believe him. I mean, what's wrong with them, right? Now, not just 2,000 years ago, but there are many that today claim, right? If I just saw Jesus, if I could see his miracles, if I just saw God, right? Then I would believe in him. Many claim that if they could just hear his voice, hear his audible voice, they could just, you know, touch him physically, then they would believe. That's what they're saying. Yet we see through today's passage, the harsh reality is that those who do not believe in Jesus, even if Jesus came right in front of them and spoke to them directly, showed all these miracles, touched them, they still wouldn't believe. And so, if you can remember, Jesus tells a parable of the rich man and Lazarus, where Lazarus, he pleads with Father Abraham. He says, please send Lazarus back to my brothers, my five brothers, right, who are still alive. And if they see Lazarus, and if they hear about what will happen to them after they live their lives, then they will believe. And in this parable, Jesus teaches, this is what he says in Luke chapter 16. He says, but Abraham said to the rich man, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, the rich man said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, they do not hear Moses and prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. And in fact, this proved true, that even after Jesus resurrected from the dead and revealed his resurrected body, that some still did not believe, that some still doubted. Even today, with all the witnesses, with all the testimonies, and with all these accounts, with all things, you know, that Jesus has done throughout the church history, you know, there are still so many today that do not believe that Jesus is the Christ. And some people might try to convince you that if there was just a little bit more evidence, then I would believe. And they will say, you know, if I can just see, right? It's impossible to believe in something you can't see, even though those same people, they believe in something they don't see every single day. But the fact is that they do not believe because their hearts have been hardened. They don't believe because Jesus says, hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Jesus gives the reason why some people believe and some people don't. In verses 26 and 27, he says to these Jewish leaders, to these Jews, he says, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, this is such an astonishing thing for Jesus to say. Why? Because he's talking to the Jews. So looking at all these Jewish leaders, Jewish people, and he's saying that you're not my sheep. And why is it so astonishing? Well, because the Jewish people are the chosen people of God, right? But the Old Testament, they're the ones whom God chose in order for them to be glorified through the nations. In the Old Testament, we read in the Old Testament passage today that the Lord is their shepherd, right? I mean, this wasn't a knowledge that they were very familiar with. The Lord was their shepherd, and the Israelites, the people of Israel, the Jews, were his sheep. They were the flock of God. And in today's passage, Jesus says, you don't believe in me because you're not my sheep. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so, what do we learn from this? We learn that salvation doesn't come from your roots, your bloodline, your background, your culture, or your race. But Jesus says salvation only comes to those who are his sheep. Only those who belong to Jesus, who are his flock, his sheep, will hear his voice and will follow him. Now, as a person who still had doubts, even though I grew up in Christian family, even though I was a born Christian, for many years, this passage, believe it or not, haunted me, right? This passage kept me awake. For years, even after I had accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, even after I started going into studying theology, trying to get my theology degree, this passage scared me. Why? Because I had so many questions. Like, how do I hear the voice of Jesus? He says, "My sheep hear my voice." Well, I'd never heard his voice before. What does his voice even sound like? What if I don't hear Jesus' voice? Does that mean I'm not saved? Does that mean I'm a fake Christian? Is my faith even real? I have so many questions. How do I hear the voice of Jesus? Now, if I had grown up and been raised in strong, reformed Alliance Ninth Street Church, then I probably wouldn't have any of these questions, or I probably wouldn't have been so scared. But being from a Presbyterian, charismatic background, this passage mortified me, terrified me, because I'd never heard his voice before. And so, many years, literally years and years, I prayed that I could hear God's audible voice. Without hearing his audible voice, I believe that I wasn't saved, that I wasn't part of his sheep, because I just had never heard his voice. God, speak to me. Let me hear your voice. For many seasons, I wrestled with this. Even as I was training to become a pastor, even as I was studying theology, because to me, if I didn't hear his voice, then either he wasn't real, or I wasn't Christian. And I believe both. I believe that God was real, and I believe that I was Christian. And so I kept praying, and I kept asking. But I never heard his audible voice, and I still never have. But the more that I grew as a Christian, the more that I read and studied his word, the more that I learned about God, the more I realized that hearing God's audible voice doesn't determine my salvation. Only faith in Jesus Christ determines my salvation. And that faith, praise be to God, is not determined by me, but it's determined by God. Leon Morris points out in the passage, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them." He says, "What might have expected after this? And they know me, my sheep hear my voice and they know me." But the proposition is reversed. It is the knowledge Christ has of the sheep that is important. And accordingly, it is this that receives this emphasis. The result of this knowledge is that they follow him, the present tense denoting a habitual following. This is how we are able to follow Jesus. This is why we follow Jesus every day. Not because we knew him first, not because we loved him first, but because he knew us first, because he chose us first, because he loves us first, and that we can continue following him every day with the assurance that we are his sheep. We have full assurance that he knows us and that he will never leave us, because he knows us. The sheep hear his voice. He knows the sheep, right? How can we hear his voice? Because he knows us, not because we know him, because he knows us. Would I have failed to recognize all of those many years trying to hear God's audible voice was that I was actually hearing his voice. I was hearing him. Call me, lead me every single day. How? Through the reading of his word, through the meditating of his word, through the hearing of his word, through the singing of his word, through prayer, through fasting, through fellowship, through conversation with other sheep who have heard his voice, through service to God and to others. I was always hearing his voice. He was always leading me so that I can follow him. And that's how I ended up going back to South Korea. After living in Canada, 12, 13 years, that's how I ended up serving him in the military church. That's how I ended up coming back to Canada to study theology. And that's how I ended up, meeting my wife. I can go on and on. All these other things, he has constantly been leading me, even though I don't hear an audible voice of his. Why? Because he has led me and he leads us through faith. So the faith that he has given us, he leads us and he guides us. This is the faith that causes us to know him and understand him and follow him. And this comes from our good shepherd knowing us. So those who believe will never be snatched away from him, as he says in verses 29 and 30, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Why will we never be snatched away from him? Because he knows us. See, if our faith, our salvation is contingent upon us knowing Jesus, us knowing God, then we'd be all in trouble. We'd be all snatched away. But Jesus says that we will never be snatched away. Why? Because he knows us and he has known us even before time. And so, truly, this is a cause for rejoicing and celebration that those who are truly saved will never be taken away from the Father. Those who truly believe in Jesus, those sheep who hear the voice of the shepherd, we will follow him because God has given us faith to believe in him. Growing up, I was always seeking the approval of other people, like many of us here have as well. I wanted approval from my parents. I wanted approval from my older sister, who was a lot better than I, cooler than I at that time when I was young. I wanted approval from her. I wanted approval from my teachers, my friends, approval from the world. I constantly was seeking affirmation, approval from the people and from the world around me. And this made me always unsure of people's love for me. The bad experiences that I had, the abandonments that I had felt, I was always afraid that I would lose people's love or people's approval. I was always afraid. I had this hidden fear inside of me ever since I was a kid that if someone just really find out who I really was, then they probably didn't want to be with me anymore. They don't want to be friends with me anymore. There was this fear inside of my heart because I was always seeking approval of others. See, the reason why I'm telling you this is because I think it's like this for a lot of people. And I think it's like this with a lot of people when we have our relationship with God. Because we have been hurt before. Maybe we've been abandoned before. Maybe we've had bad experience before. But in our relationship with God, we know he loves us. When we sing the songs, we feel the presence of God. We feel that, right? But in our daily lives, when something goes wrong, or maybe when we fall into sin or do something, this bad kind of thing and that bad kind of thing, maybe we start to think that maybe God is going to leave me. Maybe he's not going to love me anymore. He's going to find out who I really am. That, you know, I'm not just a Sunday Christian, but Monday through Saturday, that, you know, if I want to get angry, I can be angry or get frustrated and do all sorts of different bad things. Maybe God is going to leave me. And I think sometimes that's the way we live as Christians. And there is a type of relationship that we have with God. But today, Jesus says, no. No one can snatch them away. Ever. Why? Because they're my sheep. I know them. And they're mine. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul reminds us, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works so that no one may boast. See, this is the confidence. This is the confidence we live with every day as the sheep. The confidence that it's not up to me, it's not up to my works, it's not up to even my performance before God. It's not up to me that determines whether he's going to love me or not, that determines whether he's going to be with me or not. It's not up to me. Paul says, by grace, you have been saved and you have been given this faith. It's not up to us. It's up to God. And that same author, Paul, reminds us in Romans that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor death, nor anything else in all creation, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing will separate us. You know how foolish it is for us to think that God might find us out one day and he's just going to punish us and send us to hell? Thing is, he already knows. He already knew. He knows what you do now and what you do tomorrow. He knows all the mistakes and all the failures that you'll make. But that's the beauty of the gospel. That is grace. That even though he knew and even though he knows everything, even we have the things that we want to hide from him, he knows everything. But then he still calls us as his sheep. And so we are called to live with the assurance of God's love daily in our lives, to live with the assurance that we are the sheep of God, not to live like I did with doubt, that if I don't hear his audible voice, that I'm not saved, that if God doesn't, listen to my prayer, if he doesn't answer my prayer, then he's not existing or whatever. What we must do is that we must look to his sacrifice. We must look to his cross, his resurrection, because that's how much he loves us. And he's not going to take it away from us. Morris describes faith in this way. He says, we should notice that the teaching of this verse is not that believers will be saved from earthly disaster, but that they will be saved no matter what earthly disaster may befall them. And I want to add that we will be saved no matter what. No matter what we try to do to mess that up, we will be saved. And so, this fact that we're saved by grace through his grace, his gift, that we're chosen and that we'll never be snatched away, this is a powerful assurance. Powerful assurance of faith, of salvation, that we must live with as his sheep every single day. We have been elected, we have been chosen as his sheep, and we who are one flock, we ought to follow one shepherd, our God. And he calls us as his flock and to be under the good shepherd because Jesus lives today. We, whom he has known and have heard his voice, we follow him every day and we do it together. Quickly, before I end, I want to show you a video. And in this video, you're going to see four different people. They're trying to get attention from the flock of sheep. The three of them are the strangers, right? The last one is their shepherd. Why don't we go ahead and watch the video and come back?
One more time.
Oh, one.
Thank you.
That was so awesome, wasn't it? Now, what do we learn from this video? My sheep hear my voice. My sheep listen to my voice. You see how intentional Jesus is when he's using this illustration. When you know God, you know his voice, and you know what's not his voice. When you know his voice, you know what to do, and you know where to go. Jesus spoke plainly to the Jewish leaders around him, and he said, "Yes, I am the Christ." Yet they didn't hear his voice, nor did they understand what he was talking about. Yet to those whom God has chosen, all of us, though we cannot see him, we hear his voice, and we believe that he is the Christ. And we have received faith from the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And so, brothers and sisters, those who are in his flock of Christ, let us flee from the other voices, those strangers' voices. Jesus says, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Let us cut off the sound of the voice of the strangers, the voice of the world, the voice of the ones trying to tell us we're not good enough for Jesus. The voices that tell us that he's going to leave us, the voices that are trying to put fear in our lives, or voices that tell us to worship them even, to pay attention to them, wherever they may be. But let us start listening to the one voice, the shepherd's voice, the one who leaves the 99, so that he can find the one. He gave his own life and took it back up so that we could hear his voice and we could follow him. And so, let us love the voice of our Lord. Let us love to hear from him through the word, through prayer, through the sacraments, and let us seek to obey and follow him with all of our lives that we may be recognized as the sheep of our good shepherd, and that the world may see Christ and praise him through us as well. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for being our good shepherd. You are the one who has called us your own. And Lord, you have assured us that your love will never leave us. And so, Father, with that assurance, with that faith that you have given us, let us live out every single day in that assurance of salvation, that we may, in our daily lives, whatever we do, wherever we go, give you all the praise and glory for what you have done in our lives. So, Lord, let the world see you through us, so that they may to praise and worship you. We pray this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Anza.